And welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Tuesday, February 16th, 2021.
Bitcoin's at 50,090.89, up $920 or 2.5%. Hit 50K late last night, I guess overnight, while we were sleeping here in the U.S. Ethereum down, which I was shocked about. So Bitcoin hits a brand new high, and Ethereum's off 1.5% to 1766. Everything else doing pretty well. Dash is off a little bit. It was more or less a down day today, to be super honest. More or less a down day, except for Bitcoin hitting 50K. I think that means that, well, I don't know. I mean, you never really know what it means, but probably means that people kind of leaving some of the altcoins to move back to Bitcoin just because they're worried that this is a new floor, not a new ceiling. But so most things down today, but hey, Bitcoin 50K, that's an exciting day.
It is. Thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking for crypto and DeFi, gain loss reporting, crypto invoicing, and a whole lot more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Up first, Coinbase opens a waitlist for Ethereum 2.0 staking.
Yeah, this is more just a FYI. Hey, if you're holding Ethereum, you want to get into staking it, the Coinbase is a great way to do it. Staking is turning, it's returning pretty good profits right now. Still about 10% APY. Plus it's, you know, I like staking because it's a good way to lock some money up and then just not worry about it. And you're getting a nice return on it, 10%. You can't touch it. Just the, you know, rule number one for staking Ethereum 2.0 is you're not gonna be able to touch it for an indeterminate amount of time. It is unclear right now when Ethereum 2.0, they're going to modify the smart contracts. You can start removing your staking or even clawing or claiming some of your staking rewards, which, by the way, has really interesting implications on accounting treatment for it, because it's one of the very few staking things that you actually cannot touch. Even things that have like vesting periods, you can still touch them even if you choose not to get the full vesting period. So anyways, that's an aside, but it is very interesting. So if you're interested, go sign up for the wait list today. It's open right now.
Yeah. All right. Up next, some funding news. So Coinbase Ventures and Paradigm invest $12 million in Synthetics DeFi platform.
Synthetics is going nuts. I think so. Synthetics is one of the people that is playing in the anti-Robinhood melee, essentially. Yeah, right. So Synthetics has a suite of synthetic derivatives, which are essentially tied to they have things that are tracking synthetics for stocks. They are tied to the price of the stock, but they are not holding the stock. So it is like it's not even like having an option. It's like it's one step removed from that, but you are still making a bet on the price versus somebody else that's out there. So it's kind of like an option. It's a two-sided play where someone else is taking your bet against it. But this is one of the best ways that you can get exposure to things like GameStop today without a brokerage. Well, with a caveat that, you know, that's not exactly what people want. Like, because GameStop would have happened very differently if everyone just bought, you know, synthetics on it. Like, nothing would have happened. Like, so what the world really wants is stocks to move on to the blockchain and T-0 day settlement, immediate settlement of trades. But hey, this is getting there. So if you're feeling like going and making some bets and you have a lot of Ethereum, you want to do it, and synthetics is a good way to do it. So congratulations. Oh, the other thing really interesting about this is how they did the funding. I'm a longtime startup guy, and I've studied a lot of ways that people do funding, and I still don't fully get the funding models within crypto. Like, I don't fully understand why VCs agree to them, to be super honest. So the way they did the funding is they sold them. Synthetics has a corporate treasury of Synthetics tokens that they sold to Coinbase Ventures and Paradigm. I don't like that's, I, you know, if you're buying, I don't know. I don't get it, because you have absolutely no rights, absolutely no, you know, you can't fire the CEO if things are going sideways. It's just buying magic internet money, which they could, I don't know. It's super interesting to me. So I'm constantly kind of amazed at the way funding is working. It's very possible that when they did it, they actually baked some sort of governance controls into it. Board seats would be easy one. But I mean, even with board seats, if the stock of the company is majorly held by one person, if they have overall voting rights, you can't do anything about them. So I don't know. It's super interesting to me how funding is turning out in the DeFi space. But this is a new model.
Yeah. And sticking with funding, DeFi insured Nexus Mutual raises $2.7 million in NXM tokens.
Yeah. Synthetics and Nexus Mutual have something in common is that they actually do have a compelling tokenomic story. Synthetics in some ways more, I guess. I don't know. It's super interesting. So the way, or I'm sorry, Nexus in some ways more. So the way Synthetics works is that their token gives you some amount, I believe it's some amount of revenue share, but then mostly it's for voting on new synthetic options you want to do and what the fee structure is and things like that. Nexus Mutual is a little bit different. The NXM tokens that they sell, actually one of the main uses is voting for coverage of insurance. So I look at Nexus and I think it's really interesting because, and I had someone ask me the other day about doing insurance on tokens. And I'm like, you know, yeah, there's a company doing it right now. They are out there. You know, they'll make insurance that, you know, you can kind of make an insurance bet, and they've paid out one at this point, I believe. I forget who it was for. There was like based on a hack against that platform. But at the end of the day, what you relied on, there is a counterparty risk with Nexus, which is, it's not with a single counterparty, it's with a bunch of counterparties, but it's with all these people out there that are holding the Nexus tokens are going to vote whether or not to pay out on an insurance claim. The insurance claims are not automatic. Like there's no notion where they're somehow watching the blockchain, they see a hack and they just automatically pay out. No, like people have to say, hey, this was a hack, we want the insurance premium, and then the rest of the people have to agree. At some point that doesn't work. Like, and there's economic attacks against that. You know, if the hacker went and bought, I don't know why the hacker would possibly do this, but it was, the hacker goes and buys all the shares to stop the payout or something like that. You do pick up a counterparty risk, but still super interesting. So I can see why they would be selling the Nexus tokens. But again, it was through their token sale, investors kind of buying into it, making a speculative bet on the value of that token going up but then not having any actual governance rights against the company itself, only against sort of the technology. It's interesting, man. It's really crazy.
Yeah. So the DeFi sector is booming, but the future of the sector depends on oracles. And Oracle-focused tokens are really rallying right now.
Yeah, how did I not mention that? Chainlink hit 31 today, which is just crazy pants, man. It's just crazy pants. Like that, yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's one of those things. Oracles have become more and more and more important within the world. You know, you hear us every single day talk about flash loan attacks. Like that is the attack du jour is flash loan attacks. There are two primary defenses against it. One is you make it so people can't put money in and pull money out within the same block, which is like a pretty easy fix, although it's a little bit expensive with the current gas fees because it means you have to save the block that they wrote in and stuff like that. The other way is using oracles that are not bound to oracles that are bound to external sources. So for instance, if you're looking at the overall liquidity in all of the markets, which a lot of these oracles are, they're looking at the average price across across Coinbase and Binance and Bitfinex and BitMEX and all the different ones that are out there. And they aggregate all that and put it into a price for Bitcoin on the blockchain. It is a lot more difficult to manipulate that price than it is to manipulate a single contract's price as it sees it. So oracles are going to play a more important role every single day for a lot of these types of underlying assets, and that might even go into there's a lot of really cool stuff, and then a lot of the synthetics relies on oracles to give the pricing for their underlying securities. You can imagine, like, you know, I think we're all still waiting for a really good sports betting platform on crypto, and that's going to rely entirely on oracles, and that would be a very sophisticated oracle that can not just do, you know, what was the score of the quarter of the Super Bowl, but who was the first to who was the first player to touch the ball, like all the prop bets that go along with sports betting, and all the spreads and all that kind of stuff. That's what Oracle is going to really shine when you're pushing, you know, thousands of bits of data into the blockchain to cover all those things. So Oracle is going to be more and more important. I think that there is good. And what's cool is a lot of people are coming to kind of, you know, contest Chainlink in the overall space. That's the way it should work. And people are trying to cart to be the Chainlink of the Binance Smart Chain or other places. So you're going to keep seeing this going up.
Great. All right. So Cardano Polkadot market cap surpasses XRP as some of the bets on alternatives.
Yeah, for, I mean, ETH. And XRP's made a little bit of a claim of a clawback recently. I don't know how, but good on them. Whatever they're doing, whether it's they themselves doing buybacks or what, they have managed to keep their price up there. I think we'll just go Cardano, Polkadot. These are smart contract chains. Polkadot has a focus on cross-chain compatibility. Cardano is a real smart contract focused chain that's up against Ethereum. Everyone wants to see that if there's another Ethereum out there, they can basically steal the crown if Ethereum doesn't get their gas under control. So that's all of this is speculative on a new smart contract chain coming up. So it's cool.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you for listening for the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one.